Our preacher today for Senior Chapel is D.C. Choi. He was born in Seoul, Korea. He's Korean. His parents are Korean, Reverend In-ha and Tae-ja Choi, who minister not only in Korea, but also throughout the world, as they are pastors, ministers, missionaries. D.C. has an older brother, and he came to the United States when he was 6 years old, graduated from Virginia Tech in 2010 with a degree in biology. He loves to cook, and he loves to share Korean barbecue with anyone who is interested. He is single and not praying for celibacy. Was that confidential? He serves as the youth pastor at Young Nak Church, and I think some of his people are here today. If you're here, would you stand? And we want to recognize you and acknowledge you. Thank you. Thank you. And D.C. will be beginning a full-time ministry there this July. D.C.'s desire in life is to know Christ intimately and to proclaim him passionately. Give him your attention.
I want to take you back to a time when I was not 6'2" and 200 pounds, but a lot smaller. As a kid growing up in Korea, I would go visit my grandparents on my father's side every Lunar New Year. And so we as a family would journey through the mountains of Korea, around them, down and up the hills and the slopes. And then soon we would see a little opening on the side of the main road that diverged into a dirt path. And it would lead us up another mountain where my grandparents, they literally lived on the side of a mountain. And as we go up on our four-speed Kia, I would sit there, even with the air conditioning turned off, wondering, will we make it? We never did. We never made it up that hill, but it didn't matter. I would jump out of the car and run up that hill, screaming at the top of my lungs, "Harmony!" And I would see my grandmother come out of her home, and I would run into her arms and embrace her and tell her how much I missed her and how much I loved her. Half of my family would already be there, and I would see my cousins, and we would run off to the radish fields. That's right. We got radish fields in Korea. And we went there, and we would catch dragonflies to let the time pass. And other family members would make it up that hill in similar fashion as my family did, because their cars couldn't get up that hill either. And once we were all gathered, we would sit down in the small living room of my grandparents' home, and we would begin to worship our God. My grandmother would get on the piano, and she play ever so beautifully as she led us in songs of praise to our Lord. And then my grandfather would share a short message to all our family members. And then what came after that was what I look forward to the most. There were two things. First, all the children gathered together on one side to bow down before the adults and to pay our respects to our elders. And then they would bless us with their words. Not only that, they gave us little envelopes. And in those envelopes were $5 bills. Oh my goodness, as a kid, $5. Ochanon in Korea was amazing. We could buy not one, not two, but we could buy 5 ice cream bars at the local grocery store. Oh my gosh, you got five for you, 5 for me, 5 for him. We could have a mountain of ice cream today. And then my grandmother, my mom and my aunts would go into the kitchen and they would start cooking up a storm. Let me tell you, it was a feast. I'm salivating thinking about it. 2 long tables put together was not enough to hold all the food that they would prepare. Now at the age of 25, as I reflect on my childhood in Korea, I have begun to realize the blessings were not in the money. That was great, and I wish people still gave me money in my envelopes today. The blessing was not in the food. That was great as well. But the real blessings were in seeing three generations of my family come together to worship our Creator. As we would gather on Lunar New Year to remember His faithfulness throughout the past year and His provisions for us. And as we would repent and look back at our own hearts, to look at our own shortcomings, to come to the realization that we need our Savior daily, and to hope in this new year, and to rejoice in the fact that our God is sovereign, that He is in control, and that He would take care of our family beyond our greatest imagination. My parents went back to Korea when I was a sophomore in high school. And so I've been separated from them for the past 11 years. And so I know the value and the importance of being with family. And I treasure them so much, and I cannot wait to see them again in the next 2 weeks. And not only that, growing up, I always shared a room with my younger brother. I hated it, but I miss it now. And in college, I shared a dorm apartment for 2 years and off campus an apartment as well with three of my best friends. And then for the first 3 years of my education here at Dallas Theological Seminary, I had two amazing brothers, Carvin and Kerry, who took care of me in Washington Hall. But unfortunately, they betrayed me last year and they both got married and left me alone. And so this past year, for the first time in my life, I've been living alone and I have to leave the lights on when I leave because I don't want to come back to an empty, dark apartment. If you feel sorry for a brother, please pray for me because I am not praying for the gift of celibacy like Dr. Warren said. And I value and I treasure family so much, and not just my physical family, I value you all tremendously. You are my family here. You are my spiritual family. And I want to share the greatest joy of my life with you, to know my God, to walk in His ways daily, to experience His love and His faithfulness, and to experience the vertical blessings that come from above, and to share that with you all. And don't we desire divine blessings in our homes? Don't we desire divine blessings in our families, in our churches, for our children? So how can we receive these divine blessings in our home? We're going to find the answer today in Psalm 128. Please turn with me to Psalm 128. And as we go throughout Psalm 128, verses 1 through 3, first, we're going to see who are the blessed ones. Who are those that are blessed? And second, what do those blessings look like? And lastly, how we can receive blessings in our home. Once again, as we go through Psalm 128, verses 1 through 3, who are those that are blessed? What are those blessings? And how can we receive those divine blessings in our homes as well? Blessed are those who walk in obedience by fearing God. As we read verse 1, we're going to see that blessed are those who walk in obedience by fearing the Lord. Follow along with me in verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. In this song of ascent, what does it mean to walk in the ways of the Lord? I believe that they would remember God's commandment to their ancestors, and that the people of God would make three journeys each year to Jerusalem, that they would pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, of booths, and of weeks, and that that's what their journey would be with their God, to gather as His people to worship Yahweh. We're not called to make three journeys a year to Jerusalem. And even if we wanted to, we would go flat out broke. I don't think we have the financial means to do that. But what does it mean for us to walk in the ways of the Lord? I believe for us to journey with our God begins from the moment we open up our eyes in the morning to the moment we put our heads to sleep at night. As we go throughout the day, that is our journey with our God and with our Savior. That is the way we can walk with Him daily. And so as a psalmist, as the Israelites would go on their pilgrimage, as they would go on their journey, they would say, they would fear the Lord, as it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And what does it mean to fear the Lord in the context of this psalm? I believe the psalmist and the Israelites would do three things. They would remember, they would repent, and they would rejoice. The psalmist would remember how God was faithful to their ancestors, how God led the people of God out of Egypt, and that even though through 40 years they had to go through a refining process, that ultimately God kept his promises. When I first visited DTS back in early April of 2010, similar to today, the weather was absolutely gorgeous. It was beautiful, the skies were clear. I visited campus on a Saturday, and I stood here saying, God, I can see myself here for the next 4 years. And then soon after, my friends and I decided to go get lunch at Sonny Bryan's in Inwood. And oh my goodness, let me tell you, the brisket that day was fatty, it was juicy, and it was moist. And I said, God, I can see myself here for the next 4 years. Not only getting nourished through your word, but getting nourished through Texas barbecue. And I received my acceptance letter the next week. In the beginning of July, I moved down to Dallas. And immediately, I regretted my decision. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? What is this painfully unbearable, scorching heat? I open my car door and I see the air come out and start to distort. God, where are the mountains? I miss the mountains of Korea and of Virginia. There are no mountains here, Lord. The trees are dying. The grass is withering. Why have you forsaken me? And I began to doubt and question God's calling in my life to come to be equipped here for ministry. And I had an anxiety attack that summer. Reluctantly, thank you for your compassion. Reluctantly, I went to orientation. The chapel speaker got up, and one of the first things he said was, do not doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. I sat there, broken, shattered, and I began to remember how God had worked in my life, how I never wanted to become a pastor because I saw my parents go through suffering, and I said, God, I cannot come to love those who hurt my family members. My first response would be to high kick them in the face rather than to share the love of Christ with them. But I remembered how God began to heal my pain. I remembered how he began to comfort me, and that throughout 4 years at Virginia Tech, as I majored in biology, I drew closer to him through the study of life. And I remember the night he called me to ministry and reaffirmed my calling to get equipped here at Dallas Theological Seminary. The psalmist, the Israelites, would remember God's faithfulness as they would go to Jerusalem. And likewise, as we go through our daily journey, I believe we too can remember his faithfulness in our lives. Second, he would repent. The psalmist and the Israelites would repent of their shortcomings. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, repentance is a gift. It's a blessed opportunity where we can turn away from sin, turn away from our pride, turn away from our sins to turn to our God and to humble ourselves in worshiping of him. I was so rebellious my first year at Dallas Theological Seminary. I found out about all the codes that we had to abide by. And back then, jeans were not allowed on campus. Praise the Lord, it's allowed now. Thank you, God. But back then it wasn't. So out of my rebellion, out of defiance, I will wear jeans on purpose and I will break the very contract that I signed. I'm sorry, Chaplain Bill. I just saw his face. And students would stop me. As I would walk to class and they would challenge my integrity. Do you not know that you're not supposed to wear jeans? And I'll be like, yo, back up, you brood of vipers. I'll wear jeans if I want to. Don't tell me what not to wear. And I was overwhelmed by 40 chapel attendants that were mandatory. And out of defiance and rebellion, I did not go to chapel. And I said, no, I did not meet my chapel requirements. And I was so ready to battle it out with Chaplain Bell when he called me into his office. I was going to bring my trumpet and ask you, have you ever hit a double C above the staff on a 3C mouthpiece? Because I have. Oh, he has as well. Okay. I'm glad he didn't call me into his office because I would have lost. God knew. My spiritual formation members who are here today can testify. I used to sit there saying this was stupid formation. I cannot stand this. Why are we required to gather every week? I feel miserable. And I thought I was above community. I thought I was above needing a spiritual family. I said, God, I can hold myself accountable. I can do whatever I want to do. It took 3 years. 3 years of being broken here for me to finally realize how valuable chapels are and that it's okay to wear jeans now. How valuable my brothers were in spiritual formation and how valuable my community here at DTS is. God has given me the gift to repent from my rebellion this last year. It has been a humbling year, but I've been refined. And I can confidently say that now Christ defines me. It has been a tremendous blessing. And likewise, a psalmist would repent of his ways. If they have sinned throughout the past year, they would realign their hearts with God and say, God, forgive me, for I have been an unfaithful servant. As I come to worship you in the city of Jerusalem, I want to be righteous before your eyes. And we too have been given that opportunity daily to repent before our God. The last R would be that the psalmist, the Israelites, would rejoice. They would rejoice in knowing that God was their God, that he is a God of love, that he's a God of faithfulness, that they could place their trust in him. I remember when I got a text message from the admissions office here at DTS, and I cried tears of joy, and I ran to my roommates, and I told them, I got into DTS. Remember when you were excited? You tweeted about it, you Instagrammed it, you put it on Facebook and everyone was joyful for you. But I wonder how many of us have recently lost that joy in the midst of papers, exegeticals. What does kairos poietas mean? In the midst of sermons, in the midst of getting ready for finals, how many of us have lost that joy of living our life daily for God? I see children running around in our lawn. And they're running around in circles and they're laughing, having the greatest time of their life. And I ask God, Lord, when did I lose the joy of living as your child? I'm brought back to the mountains in Korea when I would run up and down these fields through the rivers and catch these dragonflies. And that I would simply just enjoy living for my God as his child, knowing that my life was in his hands. As we remember his faithfulness and as we repent of our sins, let us rejoice, for he is our God and he is faithful, and we can fall deeper in love with him every single day of our lives. And so to walk in the ways of the Lord will be to journey with him, to walk with him, as we remember, as we repent, and as we rejoice. For blessed are those who walk in obedience by fearing our God. So what are the blessings that we can receive by doing so? And as we go through our verses 2 and 3, we're going to see two areas of blessings for work and family and in our homes. For those who walk in obedience by fearing the Lord shall enjoy divine blessings in their home. Those who walk in obedience by fearing the Lord shall enjoy divine blessings in their home. Follow along with me in Psalm 128, verse 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. This week of chapel has been amazing for me. My brothers Brandon, Tim, and Michael have just so encouraged me. And I also hope that professors, faculty here at DTS, it has been enjoyable for you as well. Because we are the fruit of your labor. You have been my spiritual parents for these past 4 years. And I'm so thankful for how you have labored well so that we may come to know the love of our God all the more intimately and all the more deeper. And the greatest thing I would take away, yes, I know my Greek now. Yes, I know my Hebrew. Yes, I know how to exegete and get the theological proposition from this text and apply it homiletically. But the greatest thing that I will take away is from watching you model the life of a child of God every single semester and showing me what it means to walk in obedience by fearing him. We are the fruit of your labor. And on behalf of the student body, thank you. Now, where are my graduating seniors at? That's weak sauce. Let's make some noise. Where are my graduating seniors at? Come on now. The fruit is near. We can see it. May 10th, we shall enjoy the fruit of our labor, brothers and sisters. And we shall cherish it. I cannot wait to celebrate with you. Now, for the most of those who have more semesters to come, please don't get upset at me. I have an encouragement for you. The deeper you dig your foundation, the more you pour out your sweat and your tears to study the Word of God and to know Him through your education here at DTS, that much more will the fruit that God will allow you to experience be sweeter and be that much more meaningful to you as you labor well for His glory and for the sake of others. So press on. I'll be praying for you. Not only will we experience divine blessings in our work and our labor, we shall experience it in our families as well. Please turn with me to verse 3. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. A fruitful vine will produce grapes that has so many different applications and that will give life and energy to those who cultivate it from it. The grapes could be used for making jam, wine, juice, grapeseed oil, and it will give life to the ones who labored to reap from it. My mother has been the fruitful vine of our family. Not only is she my favorite chef, Mama Choi, and not only is my favorite restaurant Mama Choi's Kitchen, I remember every night as my mother would get on her knees to pray and cry out to the Lord on behalf of her family, on behalf of my father's ministry, on behalf of her two sons, to grow up to be men of God who will love him and share that love with others. Her tears for these past 26 years is what has kept our family together. She was the fruitful vine of our home. And many of you are blessed with fruitful vines in your homes as well. Let us not take them for granted, for they are God's blessings in your lives. The second half of verse 3, let me read it again. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Olive trees will grow up to be adults and live for hundreds of years. And at the base of these trees will be these olive shoots that will sprout up like their children. And farmers will take those olive shoots and plant them elsewhere to make more olive trees. Likewise, your children will be like olive shoots around the table. Today, this morning, I had the opportunity and the privilege to hold Leah, our brother Tim's daughter, 10 months old. And as I was holding her, it's just so precious to hold the child of God in our arms. What more can we ask than to ask our Father to raise our children to be men and women of God who know His love through the love of His Son, that they may grow up to be healthy adults, to have children of their own, and to see our grandchildren grow up to be men and women of God who will share the gospel to the ends of the earth. For those who walk in obedience by fearing the Lord shall experience these divine blessings in their home. Their spouse shall be like a fruitful vine and their children like olive shoots around the dining table. These are the blessings that we can experience. And He has given us the privilege to also eat of the fruit of our labor. So how can we receive these divine blessings in our home? How can you and I receive these divine blessings for our ministry, for our church, for our wife, for our husband, for our children, for our family? Obey vertically, influence horizontally. Obey vertically, influence horizontally. What I mean by this is that as we make our vertical relationship with God our utmost priority, and as we daily walk with Him, I believe that His blessings and His love will begin to naturally influence, penetrate, and permeate all of our horizontal relationships as well. And you, my family here at DTS, has been proof of that for me. As you have sought to love the Lord all the more, I have been encouraged by your daily walk with God. And I will admit that this past week was a very rough week as I tried to get everything done on time. But so many of you have encouraged me, gave me hugs, bought me coffee at Hope, taking me out to lunch and prayed for me. Your faithfulness to God has blessed me. So one way we can align ourselves vertically and walk in obedience with him daily is to wake up in the morning and rather than reaching for our phones, going on Facebook, going on Twitter, pray the Lord's Prayer. And as you pray the Lord's Prayer, remember that God is in heaven and that his will is being done on earth. And repent from your sins, asking for forgiveness if you have fallen short. And to also ask for the heart to forgive others if you have yet to do so. And to rejoice in the fact that his kingdom is his. That he is glorious and powerful beyond our wildest imagination. And I truly believe that as we, as pastors, as counselors, as professors, as servants of God, obey vertically, the horizontal blessings will come naturally. And so through Psalm 128, we've seen, blessed are those who walk in obedience by fearing the Lord, for they shall enjoy divine blessings in their home. They shall eat the fruit of their labor, and their spouse shall be like a fruitful vine and their children like olive shoots around the table. And we can do so by obeying vertically and influencing horizontally. Thank you all so much for being a part of my family. I believe the best thing I can do now as I graduate is to go into this world, to fall deeper in love with God, to obey him vertically, and to share the greatest joy of my life with as many people as I can. And when that's my focus, I believe that our God will be glorified and his people edified. Let's pray. Our almighty Father, God in heaven, hallowed, respected, revered, adored be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on our campus, in our school, in our families, in our churches, in our homes, as it is being done always in heaven, God, and on this earth, Lord. May you provide for us today our daily bread, not just physically through food, but through your word as well. And through our relationships with our brothers and sisters here on campus and with our relationships, interactions with our professors, provide for us today our daily bread. For you know our needs, and you are never in a hurry, but you are never late. And Lord, forgive us of our sins, for we have fallen so short so many times. And as we experience your grace and your forgiveness in new ways, may we extend that to those around us. And Father, may you lead us not into temptation, especially in the next 2 weeks as we close out this semester. Keep us strong and lead us closer to you, to the foot of the cross. And may our academics be an act of our worship to you. And we have hope and rejoice in the fact that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.